بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. مكتبة الموحدين بالتعاون مع عدة مساجد في منطقة البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذا الدرس لفضيلة الشيخ علي الرملي حفظه الله، وهو شرح للباب 31 من كتاب التوحيد للشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. Moahedin Publications, in conjunction with several masajid in the Caribbean and U.S., is pleased to present a weekly class by Sheikh Ali al-Ramli, may Allah preserve him, and it will be an explanation of Chapter 31 of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's Kitab al-Tawheed, فَلَيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا أَجُورًا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فدرسنا اليوم في الباب 31 من أبواب كتاب التوحيد. قال فيه الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب قول الله تعالى: إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. هنا يقرر المؤلف وجوب الخوف من الله تبارك وتعالى، والخوف من الله من أعظم العبادات التي نتقرب بها إلى الله تبارك وتعالى، بل هي أصل من أصول العبادات. فأعظم أعمال القلوب التي نتقرب بها إلى الله محبته والخوف منه ورجاؤه. فيقول العلماء: قلب المؤمن كالطائر، قلب المؤمن كالطائر، رأسه المحبة. كنا تحدثنا عنها في الدروس الماضية، وجناحاه الخوف والرجاء، تخاف من الله، تخاف عذابه وعقابه، وترجو رحمته، وترجو نعيمه. عمل العبد دائر بين هذه الأعمال: يحب الله ويخاف من عذابه ويرجو رحمته. قال العلماء: فإذا حصل النقص في أحدهم ما حصل النقص في الطير لا محالة، وإذا ذهبا ذهب الطير بذهابهما. هذه مكانة الخوف، مكانة هذه العبادة وهذه الطاعة في دين الله تبارك وتعالى. خوف من الله شرط الإيمان به سبحانه. وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. قال: إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. فأمرنا الله تبارك وتعالى إن كنا مؤمنين أن نخافه. فتبين بذلك أن الخوف قربة وعبادة لله لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله، ولكن الخوف أنواع سنفصلها بعد أن يترجم لنا أخونا حفظه الله. تفضلوا.
أحسن الله إليكم شيخ. Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything in existence, and by invoking peace and blessings upon the one who has sent as a mercy to everything in creation, which is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all of his family and his companions. He then said, we should be discussing the 31st chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, in which he cited the verse number 175 from Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. That is only the shaytan inspiring fear into his intimate followers and friends. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So do not fear them, and fear me, if indeed you are believers. Here the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, is addressing the issue of the obligation of fearing Allah, the Blessed and Exalted. And fearing Allah is one of the greatest acts of worship by which a servant may come closer to his Lord. In fact, fearing Allah is one of the foundations of all acts of worship. Indeed, the greatest of acts of worship are those which take place in the heart. And one of those which takes place in the heart is fearing Allah. And the main acts of worship which take place in the heart, they all revolve around three main things, which are loving Allah, fearing Allah, and having hope for Allah. It's for this reason that the scholars say that the heart of the believer is like a bird. Its head is love, and its wings are fear and hope. And so the believer loves Allah, and likewise the believer fears the punishment of Allah and hopes for the mercy of Allah. And thus, the acts of worship all revolve around these three concepts: love, hope, and fear. The believer loves Allah, and he fears his punishment and hopes for his mercy. And the scholars say, because this is the case, if there is any deficiency in any of these three branches, just like the flight pattern of a bird will become deficient if one of his wings or his head is injured, the worship of a servant will become deficient if any of these three is deficient in his heart, if either his love, his fear, or his hope is deficient for his Lord. In fact, having fear of Allah is one of the conditions of Iman, one of the conditions of having faith and believing in Allah. And this is why Allah says, خَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear me if indeed you are believers. And so in this verse, which might be translated as the following, that is only the shaytan inspiring fear into the hearts of his followers, friends, and believers. So do not fear them, and fear me if indeed you are believers. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be from amongst those who fear him. And thus, we know that fearing, having fear in the heart, is an act of worship. And that fear, because it is an act of worship, it's not permissible to direct that act of worship towards anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are several different types of fear, and we shall discuss them shortly. Tafadhal, Shaykh.
قلنا الخوف عبادة وقرب لله تبارك وتعالى، فلا يجوز صرف هذه العبادة لغير الله، كما قررنا فيما تقدم بأن العبادة إذا أثبتنا أنها عبادة بالكتاب والسنة فصرفها لغير الله شرك. وكذلك هذا الخوف، لكن كما ذكرنا الخوف أنواع. أولها خوف السر، وهو أن يخاف من غير الله ممن لا سبب ظاهر معه، أن يخاف من غير الله ممن لا سبب ظاهر معه تحتاج أن تخاف بسببه لأجله، كالذين يخشون ويخافون من الأوثان أو من أصحاب القبور أن يصيبهم بمكروه. هؤلاء أصحاب القبور والأوثان ما عندهم أسباب ظاهرة تقتضي الخوف منهم، فالخوف منهم هذا الذي يسمى بخوف السر، هذا ضابطه أن يخاف مخلوقا ليس معه سبب ظاهر للخوف منه، هذا خوف السر. وهذا الخوف يكون معه خضوع وتذلل وتعظيم، لذلك هو خوف عبادة، وهو الذي يسمى بخوف العبادة، وصرفه لغير الله شرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، هذا ضابطه وعاله، وهو المقصود هنا أن لا يصرف إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى وأن لا يكون لغيره. نعم تفضل.
أحسن الله إليك. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, continued saying that we have established that having fear is an act of worship. Having fear in the heart is an act of worship and a means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus it is not permissible to direct that act of worship to anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As other acts of worship, when it can be proven without a doubt by the kitab, the book, and the sunnah that they are indeed acts of worship, this is the case with all acts of worship. When we have evidence from the book and the sunnah that something is an act of worship, then it is not permissible to direct that act of worship to anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are various types of fear. The first is a secret fear. The first type of fear is having a secret fear. And this is when one feels within his or her heart a fear towards something or someone that there's really no reason to be afraid of. Such as fearing statues and idols, or fearing the dead people who are in their graves, fearing that those dead people might cause the living person some harm. The people who are dead and they're in their graves, and likewise idols that are made of stone, wood, and the likes, they can't harm or hurt anyone. And so they have no outward reason, they have no reason really to be afraid of them. And so feeling that fear towards them is actually committing an act of shirk. And so, if we are to pinpoint the definition of this, of having this first type of fear, which is that secret fear, it is fearing something which is created that there's really no reason to be feared from. And this type of fear, when it is accompanied by a feeling of humility, and lowering oneself, and giving greatness to that thing which is feared, then it becomes what is known as the fear of worship. And having this type of fear for anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of shirk. تفضل الشيخ.
نعم. النوع الثاني الخوف الطبيعي. وهذا الخوف جائز مباح وليس محرما، لأنه أمر جبلي جبل الله سبحانه وتعالى الناس عليه. كان يرى المرء أسدا أمامه مثلا يخافه، وكذلك أن يرى أمامه ما يعلم أنه يضره، كإنسان معه سلاح يصوب عليه سلاحه ويعرف منه أنه عنية القاتل يخاف، هذا خوف طبيعي. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في موسى وخرج منها خائفا يترقب، ولم يعاتب موسى على هذا الخوف لأنه أمر جبلي. هذا النوع الثاني من أنواع الخوف.
The second type of fear is a natural fear, and having this natural fear is permissible. There's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing prohibited about it, because having this type of fear is something which Allah has created His servants to have in their hearts. And having this type of natural fear, an example of it, is if someone were to see in front of them a lion. Anyone would naturally fear seeing a lion in front of them. Likewise, if someone were to see a person in front of them pulling out a weapon and threatening them, anyone would fear if they saw something like this. And Allah says about His Prophet Musa alayhi salam that he left the village out of fear and trembling. And so, once he was threatened, when he was living in his village, he was threatened by people who wanted to kill him. He fled from the village and was fearing. And Allah didn't reprimand him for that, because that type of fear that he had was a natural fear.
Tafadhal Sheikh. Another thalith. أن يترك الإنسان ما يجب عليه خوفا من بعض الناس. هذا النوع الثالث من أنواع الخوف. أوجب الله عليك شيئا فتركته خوفا من الناس. هذا النوع محرم، وهو أيضا من الشرك بالله، لكنه ينافي كمال التوحيد، لا أصل التوحيد، أي أنه لا يخرج الإنسان من الملة، ولكنه نوع من أنواع الشرك. وهذا هو سبب نزول هذه الآية. قال الله الذين قال لهم، قال الله جل وعلا الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. إنما ذلكم الشيطان إلى أن قال ربنا سبحانه وتعالى إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياء فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. هنا هذا النوع يحصل بين الناس كثير، فتجد العبد يخاف من إنسان في أمر قد أمره الله تبارك وتعالى به أو نهاه عنه، فيخالف أمر الله خوفا من الناس. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه، يعني يخوفكم الشيطان من أوليائه من أتباعه. والله سبحانه وتعالى إيش قال؟ فلا تخافوه، نهانا عن الخوف منه وأمرنا وقال وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. فمن خاف من أولياء الله، عفوا، من خاف من أولياء الشيطان وترك مقاتلتهم لأجل ذلك، هنا يكون قد وقع في شرك وقدم خوف العبد على خوف الله سبحانه وتعالى. خلاصة هذا المبحث أن الخوف من الله عبادة، وصرفه لغير الله شرك، صرفه لغير الله شرك، وتقديم أيضا خوف الخوف من العباد على الخوف من الله سبحانه وتعالى أيضا يعتبر شركا. هذا خلاصة هذا المبحث. نعم.
The third type of fear, which we shall discuss, is when a person leaves something that Allah has commanded him to do because of fear of what some people will say or do to him. Allah has commanded you, made obligatory upon you to do something, and then you leave that thing alone because you fear what people will say or do to you. This is the third type of fear, and this is prohibited, and it's an act of shirk. It's an act of associating partners with Allah. And this type of shirk, it negates having complete iman, but it does not negate having the foundation of iman. And so, when someone has this type of fear, it does not remove them from the fold of Islam. And this was what these verses from the Book of Allah were revealed concerning, having fear from people instead of Allah. When Allah said, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. That's a group of hypocrites. They came to the believers and they said, indeed, the people have gathered against you, so fear them. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. To make taqniya of today, Shaykh. فَزَارَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And so, once the hypocrites came to the believers and said that the disbelievers are going to fight against you and they have more numbers than you, so you should be fearful of them, this only increased the believers. It only increased the believers in their faith, and they said, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That verily Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. And then Allah says, إِنَّمَا ذَٰلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. That this is only shaitan. He is making his friends and his followers afraid. فَلَا تَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So don't be afraid of them. Be afraid of me, if indeed you are believers. And so, this type of fear, having fear of other people, and leaving alone something that Allah has commanded us to do because of fear of what those people are going to say or do, this is very commonplace, and it takes place a lot between amongst the servants. Whenever a person fears another human being when it comes to performing an act of worship, something that Allah has commanded him to do, or leaving alone something that Allah has forbidden him from doing, then he has gone against the commandment of Allah and feared that person instead of fearing Allah, thus committing an act of shirk. And this is why Allah says that having this type of fear is fearing the followers and the friends of Shaitan. And He forbids us from doing so and commands us to fear Him instead and to disobey those followers of the Shaitan. Whoever fears the followers of the Shaitan and leaves alone the fighting which Allah has prescribed upon the believers to fight the disbelievers because of the fear of those other people, then he has fallen into an act of shirk. And so, to sum up this topic, we say that fearing Allah is an act of worship, and directing that fear towards other than Allah is an act of shirk. And also, giving precedence to what Allah has commanded over what the other human beings command is an obligation. And fearing what those human beings, to the extent that one leaves alone the commandments of Allah, is an act of shirk. Tawadda Shaykhna.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله وقوله إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين. من الذين يعمرون مساجد الله بالذكر والطاعة والصلاة وغير ذلك من أنواع العبادات؟ من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله، هذا وصفهم الذين يعمرون مساجد الله بالطاعة، هم الذين آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة نعم، ولم يخشى إلا الله، لم يخافوا إلا من الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولم يخشى إلا الله. هذا الشاهد من الآية، الخشية بمعنى الخوف، بينهما فرق دقيق، لكن الشاهد من الآية هو هذا، ولم يخشى إلا الله. إذن فالخشية ينبغي أن تكون لله وحده، أصرها الله سبحانه وتعالى به، فلا يجوز أن تكون لغيره، هذا الشاهد من الآية. إذن فالواجب أن يكون الخوف والخشية والمقصود به خوف العبادة لله وحده ولا يصرف لغيره. نعم.
السلام عليكم. The next part of the chapter which the author of the book التوحيد has written is the 17th verse of Surah At-Tawbah, in which Allah says, إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. That it is only those who build the houses of Allah. We should talk about the meaning of build. Those who build the masajid of Allah are only those who believe in Allah and in the last day. وَأَقَامَ الصَّرَاةَ وَأَتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And those who establish the salah, and those who give the zakat, and they don't fear anyone or anything except Allah. فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. So perhaps it is hoped that those people will be amongst those who have been well guided. And so, what is meant here by building the masajid, the houses of Allah, is building them with the remembrance of Allah, by remembering Allah in those houses, in obeying Allah in those houses, and performing the salah in those houses. And so, who are those people who build the houses of Allah? Who are those people who build the houses of Allah with His remembrance and His worship? Allah has told us here that it is only the people who establish the salah, who believe in Allah in the last day, who establish the salah, and who give the zakat, and who do not fear anything or anyone except Allah. And this is the point that is meant, what the author meant to draw out and turn the reader's attention to in this book. That part of those people, one of the descriptions of those people who build the houses of Allah, is that they don't fear anything or anyone except their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word here used for fear is khashya. It comes from the word khashya. And we've been talking about another word in Arabic for fear, which is khawf. And there are two words that they mean almost exactly the same thing, and there's a very slight difference between the two. But in translation, we'll go ahead and translate both as meaning fear. That it is only Allah who is to be feared. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to fear Him, and this is an obligation. And He has forbade us from fearing anything or anyone other than Him, and this is one of His prohibitions. Allah shaykhana.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله وقوله ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله. هذا الكلام ذكره ربنا تبارك وتعالى في مقام الذم ليذم الله سبحانه وتعالى هؤلاء القوم. وهو يخبر عن صفات قوم من المكذبين الذين يدعون الإيمان بألسنتهم وليس في قلوبهم. قال ومن الناس الذين هم هؤلاء من يقول آمنا بالله بألسنتهم لكن حقيقة هو إيمانهم على حرف مزعزع تصيبه فتنة ينقلب. قال فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله. إذا طلبه بلاء وامتحان واختبار بسبب ما أظهر من إيمان افتتن وجعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله. أي أنه عندما افتتن أثرت فيه الفتنة وخاف من الناس وجعل عذابه كعذاب الله سبحانه وتعالى. فجعل خوفه من الناس كخوفه من الله. هذا الشاهد من الآية. هذا الشاهد يجعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله فيفر من أذاه فيوافقهم فيما يريدون خوفا منهم لأجل أن يجتنب الفتنة التي أوقعوها عليه. يجعل فتنتهم وعذابهم له كعذاب الله سبحانه وتعالى فيخافهم كخوفه من الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا الشاهد من الآية أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد ذم من خاف من الناس كما يخاف من الله سبحانه وتعالى لجعله عذاب الناس كعذاب الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا المعنى المراد من الآية. نعم.
The Shaykh continued mentioning the third ayah, which was mentioned in this chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, verses 10 and 11 of Surah al-Ankabut, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what might be translated as, and some people, they say, we believe in Allah, but when they are harmed in the path of Allah, they make the trial and tribulation of people like the punishment, the torment of Allah. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions this. He mentions these type of people as a way of finding fault with them and blaming their wrongdoing. And so there are people who are actually, belied, who did not believe, who did not have iman, they did not truly believe in the message. However, they claimed with their tongues to have faith. And so they had faith with their tongues, but not with their heart. And the measurement of this is that when some trial or tribulation afflicts them, then they turn on their heels and run the other way. And when they apparently have some faith, and they're outwardly following Islam, and because of that some people harm them, they consider that harm that comes to them from the people, they make that harm that people bring to them like the harm that comes from the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that this harm that comes from them by what people are say or do to them, it affects them so much that it is as hard on them as the torment of Allah would be upon them. And so Allah mentions this to find blame, to find fault with the people who do this, who have faith with their tongues, but not in their hearts. And the test of that is that when they are outwardly following and practicing the faith, yet some harm comes to them, they consider that harm as bad as the punishment of Allah. So Allah rebukes these people. تفضل يا شيخ.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله عن أبي سعيد مرفوعا إن من ضعف اليقين أن ترضي الناس بسخط الله وأن تحمدهم على رزق الله وأن تذمهم على ما لم يؤتك الله إن رزق الله لا يجره حرص حريص ولا يرده كراهية كاره. هذا الحديث معناه أن من ضعف الإيمان أن ترضي الناس بسخط الله، بمعنى أن تعمل أعمالا الناس يحبون منك فعلها على وجه، وهذا الوجه قد حرمه الله عليك أو أوجبه عليك، وأنت تخالف ما أمر الله به وتسخط الله سبحانه وتعالى عليك كي ترضي الناس. هذا من ضعف إيمان العبد وعدم يقينه. وأن تحمدهم على رزق الله، يرزقك الله سبحانه وتعالى وتحمدهم هم على هذا الرزق. الأصل فيك أن تشكر الله وأن تحمده على ما أنعم عليك، ولا بأس بشكر الناس، لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس، شكر الناس من شكر الله، لكن أن تتناسى صاحب الفضل الأصلي هو هذا المذموم، وأن تذمهم على ما لم يؤتك، على ما لم يؤتك الله. الفضل من الله سبحانه وتعالى والرزق من عنده، فإذا الناس لم يؤتوك ما كنت تنتظر منهم من رزق ذممتهم على ذلك مع أنهم لم يقصروا فهذا مذموم. نعم إذا قصروا في عمل وذممتهم على التقصير فما في بأس، لكن إذا لم يقصروا في شيء والله سبحانه وتعالى قد رزق لم يرزق، ليس من الصواب ولا من الحق أن تذمهم على أمر ليس بأيديهم أصلا وليس لهم هذا الأمر. إن رزق الله لا يجره حرص حريص ولا يرده كراهية كاره. الرزق بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى، إذا حرص الناس على أن يأتوك هذا الرزق أو حرصوا على أن لا يأتوك بهذا الرزق فلن ينفع حرصهم هذا شيئا ولن يضر شيئا، لأن الرزق بيد الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الرزاق ذو قوة متين. هذا معنى الحديث، والحديث ضعيف لا يصح. هذه خلاصة الأمر. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك. The next part of the text of the book mentioned by the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, is on the authority of Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with him, with a marfu' chain of narration, in which he said that part of having weak faith and weak certainty is that people please other human beings by gaining the anger of Allah and praising other people for the provisions that come from Allah and finding blame with other people for what Allah has not given you. Indeed, the provision of Allah is not brought about by the hard work of anyone who works hard, and it is not deflected, and it cannot be stopped by the hate of anyone who hates us. This hadith, what is meant by this hadith, is that part of having weak faith is going and seeking the pleasure of the people to an extent that you do something that is pleasing to them, yet Allah is displeased with this. Meaning that you do something which they will love you because of it, but Allah will not love. So doing so is part of having weak faith. Likewise, part of having weak faith is praising other people, praising other human beings because of the money that they might give you, the provisions that they might give you. This essentially comes from Allah, not from other people. So they are not to be praised for what they give you. When something comes to you, you should thank Allah, not the people. And you should praise Allah, not the people. And at the same time, there's no problem, there's no prohibition with giving thanks to people for acts of kindness that they might perform towards you. As is in the hadith, that whoever shows no thanks to the people shows no thanks to Allah. And so the bounty and the provisions are all from Allah, not from people. And so when you are expecting people to give you something and you don't get what you were expecting, you should not find blame with them. Because essentially, it is your provisions are coming from Allah, not from the people. And at the same time, if you have something rightfully coming to you, and the people don't give you what is due, what is rightfully yours, then this doesn't fall under the category that we're addressing here. What we're talking about is something that is not rightfully yours. People, if they don't give it to you, they're not to be blamed, and if they do, then they're not to be praised. It is Allah who is to be praised, because all of the provisions come from Him. And by the way, this hadith is da'if, it's unauthentic. Tafadhal ya Shaykh.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من التمس رضا الله بسخط الناس رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه الناس ومن التمس رضا الناس بسخط الله سخط الله عليه وأسخط عليه الناس رواه ابن حبان في صحيح. معنى هذا الحديث أن من قدم رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى وحرص على رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى وإن غضب الناس منه وإن عادوه فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى سيكافئه على ذلك وسيرضى عنه وسيرضي عنه الناس أيضا. لكن من طلب رضا الناس وحرص عليه ولو كان على حساب رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى ولو كان فيه سخط الله تبارك وتعالى فمثل هذا يسخط الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه ويسخط عليه الناس فلا ينال رضا الناس ولا ينال رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى والأول هو الذي ينال رضا الله وينال رضا الناس لأنه قدم رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالمقصود تحريم ترك الطاعة خوفا من الناس أو طلبا لرضاه فلا يبالي برضا الناس أو بسخطهم بل يشغل نفسه بطاعة الله ويخاف من الله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك. The next part of the text of Kitab al-Tawheed mentioned by the author was on the authority of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah by making people angry, then Allah will be pleased with him, and the people will also be pleased with him. But whoever seeks the pleasure of the people by making Allah angry, then Allah will be angry with him, and also the people will be angry with him. This was narrated by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, said that what is meant by this hadith is that given priority to the pleasure of Allah in doing those things which are beloved to Allah, even if that means incurring the anger of the people and making people your enemies. Whoever does this will be rewarded by Allah. Allah will reward such a person by being pleased with him, first and foremost, and secondly, by eventually making people also pleased with him. Likewise, doing the opposite, seeking the pleasure of people at the expense of incurring the anger of Allah, this is what is blameworthy. And this is what will lead to both Allah and the humans being angry with this person eventually. And so, it is Allah's pleasure which is to be sought in all cases, regardless of whether or not that's going to make people pleased. And whoever does so, whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah at the expense of making people happy, at the expense of making people angry, then Allah will eventually be pleased with this person, and Allah will make all the people who were at the beginning displeased with this person likewise pleased with this person, because he's given precedence to the pleasure of Allah over the pleasure of the people. And whoever, out of fear of the people, has sought to please them and not to please Allah, then he has feared them more than he has feared Allah, and this is exactly what we are addressing in this chapter, fearing Allah more than anything or anyone else. Tafadhal, Shaykh.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله باب قول الله تعالى وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. هذا الباب معقود لبيان وجوب الاعتماد على الله سبحانه وتعالى وعدم جواز الاعتماد على غيره. والتوكل هو اعتماد القلب على الله تبارك وتعالى وهو من عمل القلوب. يقول العلماء في تعريفه هو الاعتماد على الله سبحانه وتعالى في حصول المطلوب ودفع المكروه مع الثقة به وفعل الأسباب المأذون فيها. هذا هو تعريف التوكل، فهو الاعتماد على الله مع الأخذ بالأسباب. هذا باختصار التوكل، الاعتماد على الله مع الأخذ بالأسباب. والآية وعلى الله فتوكلوا فيها أمر إن كنتم مؤمنين، شرط الإيمان أن يكون اعتمادك على الله تبارك وتعالى. وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين، إذن فالتوكل واجب، اعتماد على الله هذا أمر من الله به، فهو واجب وهو شرط الإيمان كما ذكرنا ما دلت عليه الآية، فيدل على انتفاء الإيمان عند انتفائه. وهذا التوكل كما ذكرنا واجب، وصرفه لغير الله شرك بالله تبارك وتعالى. هذا خلاصة المراد من هذا الباب مع ذكر هذه الآية. تفضل بارك الله.
السلام عليكم. We then come to the 32nd chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, which starts with the statement of Allah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And put your trust in Allah, if indeed you are believers. It's the 23rd ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And Shaykh Malaf Azarim said that this chapter, what is meant by this chapter, is that it is an obligation to depend on Allah, and that it is not permissible to depend, to fully depend on anything or anyone other than him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, what is meant by having tawakkul, meaning tawakkul might be translated as relying upon Allah, depending upon Allah, and trusting in Allah, this is one of the actions, one of the acts of worship, which takes place in the heart. And so, some of the scholars have defined this act of worship, having tawakkul, trust, reliance, and depending on Allah. They have defined it as such, as depending upon Allah when seeking after what one desires to get, by placing one's trust in Allah and having confidence in Him while doing what is permissible for Him to do in order to gain what he is seeking to, what he is seeking to get. And having tawakkul, having this trust and reliance, depending upon Allah, this is a condition of iman. One is not truly a believer unless he has this tawakkul. And so, having tawakkul, having trust, reliance upon Allah, is an obligation. And it is one of the conditions of iman, as we have mentioned. And whenever this is not present, it means that, likewise, one's iman is not present. If one has no tawakkul, no trust in Allah, then one actually has no faith. And so, having tawakkul is an obligation. And directing this tawakkul, directing one's full trust and reliance upon anything or anyone other than Allah, is an act of shirk. Tafadhal Shaykh.
هنا قبل أن نخرج إلى الآية الثانية نذكر ما ذكره الشارح من تفصيل في مسألة التوكل متى يكون شركا أكبر إذا صرف لغير الله ومتى يكون شركا أصغر. يقول الشارح هو قسمان: التوكل في الأمور التي لا يقدر عليها إلا الله، كالذين يتوكلون على الأموات والطواغيت في رجاء مطالبهم من نصر أو حفظ أو رزق أو شفاعة، قال هذا شرك أكبر، يعني اعتماد على غير الله فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. النوع الثاني التوكل في الأسباب الظاهرة، يعني التوكل اعتماد على الناس في أمور يقدرون عليها وهم أسباب لها، كمن يتوكل على أمير أو سلطان بما أقدره الله تعالى عليه من رزق أو دفع أذى ونحو ذلك، قال هذا نوع شرك أصغر. هذا تفصيل لا بد منه. نعم تفضل.
أحسن الله إليكم. Before we mention the next ayah, which is present in the text, we would like to point out something which is mentioned by one of the explanations of this book of Kitab al-Tawheed. And that is that when it comes to tawakkul and directing that tawakkul to other than Allah, there are two types. One is a major form of shirk, and the other is a minor form of shirk. The first type, which is a major form of shirk, is directing one's tawakkul, one's trust and reliance, to other than Allah in something that only Allah is capable of doing, such as having trust and reliance upon dead people who can do nothing, and having trust and reliance upon false idols when it comes to seeking after one's provisions, or when it comes to shafa'ah, when it comes to intercession. Having tawakkul in other than Allah in these spheres is a major form of shirk, which takes one out of the fold of Islam. The second type of tawakkul is having reliance upon something or someone other than Allah when it comes to those outward actions which lead to attaining what one is looking to get. And an example of this is having trust and reliance upon a rich person who is in a position of authority when it comes to looking for wealth, or when it comes to being protected from some type of harm. This is a minor form of shirk. Totally shirk.
قال المصنف رحمه الله إن وقوله إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. هذه أوصاف يصف الله سبحانه وتعالى بها هذه الأولى. إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم، وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا، هذه الثانية. وهذا يدل على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، والمؤمنون حقا إذا تليت عليهم آيات الله زادتهم إيمانا. وعلى ربهم يتوكلون، هذا الوصف الثالث، وهو المراد هنا والشاهد عندنا في الباب، أنهم يعتمدون على الله، يعلمون أن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي بيده التصرف في الأمور، كل شيء ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن، فيعتمدون عليه في كل شيء، يريدون يقصدون لا يقصدون إلا هو، ولا يرغبون إلا إليه. هذا معنى الاعتماد على الله تبارك وتعالى. نعم.
The second verse mentioned by the author in the text of the book is the second verse of Surah Al-Anfal, in which Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. But the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when His verses are recited to them, they increase in faith. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And it is in their Lord when they put their trust and their dependence and their reliance. And so three characteristics of the believers here are mentioned. The first is that whenever Allah is mentioned, the believers' hearts tremble. The second is that whenever the verses of Allah are recited to the believers, they increase in iman. And this is evidence and proof that iman, the faith, increases and decreases. And the third thing mentioned here in this ayah is that the believers, that they place their trust only in their Lord. And so, the believers, they know that all things are under the control of Allah, all things are in the hands of Allah. And whatever Allah wills, will take place, and whatever He does not will, shall not take place. And so, the believers, they only turn to Allah, and they only have their trust and reliance upon their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala al-mu'allif rahimahu Allah,
wa qawli ya ayyuha al-nabiyu hasbuka Allah, wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin, ay kafika Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'atimaduka yakunu ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واعتماد من اتبعك من المؤمنين على الله سبحانه وتعالى. يا أيها النبي حسبك الله أي كفيك الله. ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين أيضا حسبهم الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالله كافيك وكافي المؤمنين. فاعتمادك واعتمادهم يكون عليه تبارك وتعالى. فعلى ذلك يكون هذا فيه أمر بماذا؟ بالاعتماد على الله تبارك وتعالى وهو الشاهد. نعم.
The next part of the text is the 64th verse of Surah Al-Anfal, in which Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O you prophet, Allah is sufficient for you, He is sufficient for those who have followed you from amongst the believers. This means that Allah is sufficient for both the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and He is sufficient as a protector for anyone and everyone who is a follower of His. And thus, because He is sufficient for the believers, it is only in Him that the believers should place their trust. It is in Him that they should rely, and in Him that they should place their trust. And so essentially, this is a commandment for the believers to trust none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قال المصنف رحمه الله وقوله ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه أي فهو كافي ومن كفاه الله لا يحتاج إلى غيره معه. إذا فاعتماده يكون على الله وحده فقط لا على غيره. نعم.
The next verse mentioned by the author رحمه الله is the third verse of Surah Al-Taraf, in which Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places his trust in Allah, then Allah will be sufficient for him. And the Shaykh may Allah preserve him said that whoever places his trust in Allah, then Allah will be sufficient for him to such an extent that he will need no one and nothing else.
قال المؤلف عن ابن عباس قال حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل قالها إبراهيم صلى الله عليه وسلم حين ألقي في النار وقالها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قالوا له إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. رواه البخاري في صحيح. حسبنا الله أي كافينا الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا نحتاج لغيره نعتمد عليه. ونعم الوكيل نعم من فوضنا أمرنا إليه واعتمدنا عليه. هذا المعنى. فإذا كان المرء قد اعتمد بقلبه حقيقة على الله سبحانه وتعالى وتوكل على الله وانقطع بكليته إليه تولاه الله وحفظه وحرسه وصانه. هذا معنى حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. وإبراهيم ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الأنبياء والرسل. كانت كلمتهم عند الشدة حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل أي الله سبحانه وتعالى كفينا وقد كفاهم الله سبحانه وتعالى بالفعل. نعم.
السلام عليكم. In this part of the text of the book is on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, commenting on the 173rd verse of Surah Al-Imran, which Allah says, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, that Allah is sufficient for us, and what a great disposer of affairs He is. That this statement, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, this statement was pronounced by Ibrahim alayhi salam when the disbelievers threw him in the fire. And it was stated by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the people said to him, indeed the people have gathered against you, so fear them. And so it only increased the believers in their faith. So this statement was reported by Bukhari and by Nasa'i as well. He said that when this is the case with a believer, when he makes a statement, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, we have placed that Allah is sufficient for us, and what a great disposer of affairs He is. When a person truly pronounces this and truly feels this in his heart, to the extent that he knows that Allah is the best disposer of affairs, and he doesn't trust anything or anyone besides his Lord, then he will need nothing and no one else other than his Lord. Having his Lord as the disposer of his affairs, he will need knowing and no one and nothing other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person truly turns to Allah and truly trusts in Allah and truly makes Allah the disposer of his affairs in reality, and he totally cuts off from anything and anyone else, meaning that he doesn't trust or turn to anyone or anything else for protection, when this is the case with a believer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him, and Allah will guard him, and Allah will guide him and safeguard him against any harm. And this is what we mean when we say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, that Allah is sufficient for us, and what a great disposer of affairs He is. This was said by the best of the two prophets, Muhammad and Ibrahim, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. This was said by them both in times of hardship, in times of extreme hardship. They both said this blessed statement. فَضْلَ فِيهِ.
ما ذكرناه اليوم أن الخوف التعبدي الذي معه خضوع وتذلل ومحبة وتعظيم هذا عبادة لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله وصرفها لغير الله شرك. والتوكل الذي هو الاعتماد على الله تبارك وتعالى أيضا عبادة وقربة لله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يجوز صرفه لغير الله. ولا يعني ذلك ترك الأسباب. فربنا تبارك وتعالى أمرنا بالتوكل عليه وأمرنا أيضا بالأخذ بالأسباب. وكل ما جاء في الكتاب والسنة من الأمر بالأفعال هو من الأخذ بالأسباب والأمر بها. وفي قول الله تبارك وتعالى واتقوا الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون أمر أيضا بالأخذ بالأسباب مع الاعتماد على الله. تقوى الله الأمر بالتقوى، والأمر بالتقوى معناه فعل الطاعات وترك المعاصي، وهذا أخذ بالأسباب مع قوله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. إذن لا يعتمدون على الله سبحانه وتعالى ثم يجلس ويقول خلاص أنا أعتمد على الله ويترك الأسباب، هذا لا ينفعه. إذا أراد أن يكون مطيعا فيعتمد على الله سبحانه وتعالى ويأخذ بالأسباب. أي نعم. فإذا الاعتماد على الله لا يعني ذلك ترك الأخذ بالأسباب كما يفعل بعض الجهال. وصرف الاعتماد أو صرف التوكل إلى غير الله تبارك وتعالى والاعتماد على غير الله سبحانه وتعالى يعتبر من الشرك بالتفصيل الذي تقدم، وكذلك التفصيل الذي تقدم في مسألة الخوف. ونكتفي بهذا القدر والحمد لله.
أحسن الله إليك شيخ. Sheikh Mala Preserve concluded saying that in order to summarize what we have mentioned in this class, we shall say that firstly, fear, having fear, is an act of worship, an act of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a feeling which is present in the heart, which is accompanied by feelings of humility and feeling that the thing which is feared from is great. And when this happens, this is an act of worship. And because this is the case, directing this act of worship to anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of shirk. When it comes to tawakkul, trusting Allah in Allah and relying upon Allah, this is also an act of worship and a means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not permissible to direct this act of worship to anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say this, when we say that the believers must trust in Allah, this does not mean that we don't take the necessary steps in order to gain what we are looking to gain for. We just sit around and be lazy and expect things to fall into our laps. No, quite the contrary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to take the necessary steps in order to get what we are looking for. But in doing so, we must also, first and foremost, trust in Him. And all of the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah points to taking the necessary steps in order to achieve what we are looking for. And, for example, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And fear Allah, be dutiful to and fearful of Allah, and place your trust in Allah, if indeed you are believers. So when Allah says, fear Allah, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, be dutiful to and fearful of Allah, this means that one takes those acts of precaution and performs those acts of obedience to Allah, and also abstains from the acts which are sinful, and at the same time, he doesn't act lackadaisical, but rather takes the necessary steps in order to perform this act of worship. And so, sitting around without taking the necessary steps will be of no benefit to a person. So, in fearing Allah and in trusting in Allah, we have to trust in Allah, but we also have to take the necessary steps in order to achieve what we are looking for. And so, directing this act of worship, this tawakkul, having this trust upon Allah, directing it to other than Allah, is an act of shirk. According to the details, which we have mentioned, and there are some details, which we previously mentioned in this class. As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh wa barakhu feekum. وجعل ما قلتم في موازين حسناتكم يوم نلقاه.
طيب جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم.
جزاكم الله كل خير يا شيخ. جعل ما قلتم في موازين حسناتكم يوم نلقاه.
امين.
امين. امين. امين. امين.
الله يبارك
فيك. الله يحفظكم.
الله يحفظكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.